The following is a ray gun armed, faster than light presentation of GalacticNetcasts.com. Hello, and welcome to the Time Traveling Robots in Space podcast, episode number 10 for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2011. This is the show where we talk about time travel, robots, and space. From Wausau, Wisconsin, I am the Inter Dave, and that guy right there is from Glendale, California. He is Paul Swickard. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing quite well, sir.
And you have big news. You are you have a new title, don't you?
I know. I am now officially an uncle.
Congratulations.
It's very weird. It's very weird. But, you know, it's good things. It's good things, for sure. I got to practice on my niece, holding my niece versus my own child. So I have no problem dropping my niece, but my own child, that would be bad. So I got some good practice in.
All right. Practice makes perfect. As long as you don't practice, your practice isn't too bad in that case.
Not in that particular case. I'm leaving it open for the future.
Okay. All right. Okay. This is the podcast. Like I said, it's all about time travel. It's all about robots. It's all about space. And we break it down into a few sections. We actually, each thing gets their own section. Like we talk about time travel. And then we talk about robots. And then we talk about space. And then we do our recommendations. And then we do the question of the week. So if you're ready, let's do this thing.
Let's hit it.
Somehow we've entered what seems to be a temporal causality loop. We think we're stuck in a specific fragment in time and that we've been repeating that same fragment over and over again. Our theory is this. Every time the loop begins again, everything resets itself and starts all over. We don't remember anything that happened before, so each time through the loop, we think it's the first.
You mean we could have come into this room, sat at this table, and had this conversation a dozen times already?
A dozen, a hundred. It's impossible to tell. We could have been trapped here for hours, days, maybe years.
And that is from my recommendation this week. It's the Star Trek The Next Generation episode Cause and Effect.
Very cool.
Can't wait to talk about it. There is a new movie coming out in 2012 called The 25th Reich. And it's exactly what it sounds like. If you imagine soldiers in World War II using a time machine to stop Hitler, if that's what you were imagining, because that's what I was thinking. With an international cast, state-of-the-art digital effects, and classic vintage styling, The 25th Reich is a rollicking... I love that
rollicking
word. Rollicking. Especially when it comes to a movie about Hitler. Rollicking sci-fi adventure full of time travel, Nazi robots, faulty spaceships, and giant megafauna. So basically, this movie has everything that this podcast is about. Time travel, robots, and space.
Check, please. Like, where's our royalties here?
I know.
Come on, man.
It's based on the novella 50,000 Years Until Tomorrow by J.J. Solomon. The movie is an homage to sci-fi and World War II movies of the 1940s and 50s, so you're combining the best of both worlds. And it stars a bunch of people. I have no idea who they are, except for Jim Knobloch, who was on Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Oh, okay.
For more news on this, for more information about this, go to the25threich.com. That is the, followed by the number 25, T-H-Reich, R-E-I-C-H.com. And we'll pop the video teaser, the trailer for the 25th Reich up in the show notes at galacticnetcast.com. And it has to be seen to believe, Paul.
I can't wait to see it. That sounds awesome.
Because, like I said at the top of the story, it's exactly what you think it is. It's when you hear the movie described and you think of it in your head, when you see the trailer for it, it's exactly what you were thinking.
Well, I love that you specify here, Nazi robots, not just any robots, Nazi robots. And these are not functional spaceships. They're faulty spaceships.
Yeah.
So, why are they faulty spaceships? I'm not sure yet. I guess we'll have to find out.
Maybe because they were built by Nazis.
I have the Nazis gotten, like, are they slackers now? What's the deal? Come on. They're supposed to be efficient.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I don't know. But, you know, what's even funnier is that it's an international cast. So, like, some of their words match their lips match their words, but others don't. Like the guy who plays Hitler is Italian, so he's like speaking Italian, but they're overdubbing it in English.
Oh, that's gonna be weird.
Yeah, it's awesome. You gotta check out the video the trailer for it.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so what do you got, Paul? Beat top that, my friend.
I can't. You know what? There's no way. we should. That's it. I'm done.
Just stop the podcast right there. You give up, surrender. All right.
This is actually pretty cool. I had heard about this guy who is making a time travel calendar. This fellow's name's Alex. He works at Google by day, but at night, what he decided to do was design a calendar that was entirely based on time travel. So what he did is he took all kinds of pop culture type events, whether they be from like films, television shows, video games, comics, and anything time travel related, and he essentially just made a calendar out of it. And if you watch the video, and it'll be in the show notes, it's pretty cool. Like you'll have anything with relatively like a specific event, like, you know, for example, like the date that Marty went back in time, you know, November 5th, 1955.
Okay.
It'll have that marked in your calendar on November 5th saying in 1955, on this day, Marty went back to do blah, blah, blah.
That is awesome.
So, yeah, it was pretty cool. I liked it quite a bit. And it's one of those kind of Kickstarter programs. Like he's doing this completely independently.
Okay.
So the idea is that if you donate $10, you get yourself a calendar, and you donate certain amounts of money, you get other stuff too. So yeah, I like it, and I'm thinking about putting some money in there.
Do you know if he was able to put something on each day of the year?
I don't think, just from what I saw, I don't know that there's something for every single day. Like a lot of the time travel lore stuff is, it's not as specific. You know what I mean? Like they don't have a specific date. Like they'll have like a year.
Okay.
So they'll have, you know, at the top of the calendar, you'll see like, you know, I think the first event he had was from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, where he had, where there's like, you know, like 3 billion BC or some nonsense like that.
Okay.
So, I think at least from what I could tell, you have some generic events at the top, and at the bottom, anything that's specific, it'll be in there as well.
But I could see him coming up with a lot of specific dates because time travel movies, TV shows, books, stories, whatever, always make it a point to include an exact date, you know, when they go back in time.
That's true.
I bet you there's a lot of Star Trek on that calendar.
Yeah, he mentioned all kinds of things in his video. He says that he has 155 instances of time travel from various sources.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I dug it. But yeah, check it out.
And we'll have the link in the show notes at galacticnetcasts.com. I can't wait to check it out because I haven't seen it. I never click on your links, Paul, until actual showtime. So I apologize.
That's my social networking like personification too. Nobody ever clicks on my links.
Well, no, I mean, I like to be surprised. So if I read your stories and if mm-hmm. you talk about it, I won't be surprised.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
No. Yeah, for sure. Okay. No, that totally makes sense.
All right, let's move on to robots.
The world's only boxing robot, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots by Marx. Takes two managers to handle the fighters and lots of skill to win. With these control levers, you can keep your fighters in motion to duck punches. When you press this plunger, he throws a right uppercut. Press the other plunger and there's a left jab. Lots of exciting action and fun for everyone when the world's only boxing robots battle it out. Just push the flying head back and you're ready for round three. The world's only boxing robots. Get the Rock'em Sock'em Robots by Mark.
So the question I have for you, Paul, is did you have Rock'em Sock'em Robots growing up?
I did not. Unfortunately, and I feel as though I was gypped.
Do you know if they were they around when you were a kid, or do they still exist?
Yeah, I remember those things.
They still. I'm guessing they probably still exist because it's a pretty simple concept and a pretty awesome concept at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I think weren't those two dueling like dudes in like Toy Story?
It's possible. You know what I mean? It's possible. I have never. I have to be honest with you. I've never seen Toy Story.
any of them?
I have not seen any of them, no.
Oh, dude.
I have this thing with animation movies. I don't do it on purpose. I just don't gravitate towards them. So I never had a chance to see it.
Oh man. those movies are great on their I put most of Pixar in this category. They're great movies on their own merit, completely independent of them being like made for children. Like they are really, really good films, and they only get better. Like I would say that the first one was great, the second one was better, the third one was better.
Okay, here's my plan. I'm going to watch the Pixar Story, the documentary that's on Netflix right now, and then I'm going to go watch the Pixar movies. Is that cool?
You should. A good chunk of them, I mean, almost all of them are must-owns, at least for me. Like I think maybe a couple. The only one that I can think of off the top of my head that I wouldn't want is something like A Bug's Life. You know, it's fun watching once, but then you're just kind of done.
Up a Pixar movie?
Yes.
How about the Iron Giant?
The Iron Giant was the reason that those two are associated. Was Iron Giant was directed by Brad Bird, and Brad Bird had directed a bunch of the Pixar stuff.
Okay, all right, I understand. Okay, so I promise to watch some Pixar movies. Will that satisfy you?
Okay, I suppose.
All right, so on with the podcast here. We're talking about robots. And in honor of the recent Real Steel movie, Ugo, UGO.com, put together a ranking of the best robot fights in TV and film. And among those at the bottom of the list, because we have to save the top of the list for you to check out yourself, included were RoboCop versus ED-209. That's from the very first RoboCop movie. The T-800 versus the T-1000 from Terminator 2. Robots Bill and Ted from the movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, of course. That's the two evil Bill and Ted robots sent from the future to kill Bill and Ted to prevent their band Wild Stallions from saving the world with the message of peace and love. So check out the rest of that list at ugo.com, and we will have the link in the show notes at galacticnetcast.com. Again, that is the list of the best robot fights in TV and film history. Check it out.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And I approve. If you're going to include Bill and Ted in there, I automatically approve.
Can you think of any other robot fights?
Apart from this?
Yeah.
No. I would say probably one of my favorite robot fights. Well, there are a couple. One is, I'd say, the Sonny from My Robot when he takes down all of those different other versions of the same model robot.
Yeah, he was
you know
a
the
bad,
one I'm talking about.
Yeah, he was a badass. I love that. Love that scene.
The wink really just made that.
Yeah,
I really love that part.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would put that, and I would put the T-800 versus the T-1000. I liked that scene quite a bit at the very end. I really enjoyed that.
There was a couple of episodes of Battlestar Galactica I remember that maybe it was just one episode, and I may be wrong. I may be thinking about this wrong, but I could have swore there was an episode where the old Cylons were battling the new Cylons.
Oh, sounds cool.
Yeah.
I definitely want to watch that.
Yeah, I'll have to do some research and get back to you on that.
That's very cool.
So what do you got in the robot category, Paul?
Speaking of robots... And speaking of the Terminator, actually, ironically, a group called Boston Dynamics is kind of making the Terminator. And it's a little creepy. We've actually talked about this particular group before. They had made other versions of robots like Big Dog, for example.
Big Dog!
Like
that, woof, woof.
Exactly right. So, yeah, and their robots are pretty dang sweet. The creepy part here is that, yeah, I mean, they made a full humanoid-looking robot that moves just like us. And, I mean, geez, you slap a skeletal structure on there and you've got yourself pretty much a Terminator.
Yep.
And as fate would have it, weird, this is being funded by the United States Army. Wow.
Oh, my God. Cool. It's coming. Skynet is coming.
It really is. Like, you know... I always thought so even before we started the show, But as we've moved forward,
yeah,
it every week I am just I'm more convinced this is happening.
Well, when you have to pay attention to these kind of stories, they kind of all build up together, and you come to the conclusion that yes, we are going to come to the point in our history where robots will take over the world, and us humans are going to die.
Yeah. It's, oh man. And get this. They said that they tested, one of the things that they're using this robot for is testing chemical protection clothing.
That's weird.
So, yeah, like, great. So they're already trying to make it stronger. Fantastic. <Yeah.
laughs> And it sounds like they want to replace the humans.
I would. I mean, seriously. Like, all other things being equal, if I had my choice about it, I would much rather have robots doing our fighting for us than having people die.
Amen.
But yeah. Yeah. That's just me.
Have you seen the version of the video with the song from Saturday Night Fever?
No.
They took the video of this robot that you're talking about, and somebody put the Saturday Night Fever music, the theme song to it.
I could so see that.
Yeah.
The majority of the video is just showing that the robot can walk on its own, like a human can walk.
Yep.
So yeah, I could totally see
and
that.
They put the music in time with his walking, so it looks like he's actually walking to the music. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. That is sweet. I'll have to check that out. Yeah, the robot, if you want to reference it, the robot is called Petman, P-E-T-M-A-N.
All right, moving on.
In the final battle for Earth, a team of untested pilots is our last hope.
Wish me luck.
Gear up.
Battle stations.
Lock on.
Yeah!
And strike back from 20th Century Fox this year.
All right, ladies, let's do it.
At the edge of the universe, all hell will break loose. Wing Commander.
I love this baby!
With Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever watch that movie?
Not a good movie. Not that good.
I never saw it.
Kind of cheesy. Kind of cheesy. Not worth it, really. All right. So on Wednesday, tonight, a new four-part Nova series premiered on PBS. It premiered an hour ago at 8 o'clock Central Time. That would be 6 o'clock your time, Pacific Time. It's called The Fabric of the Cosmos, based on the book of the same name by renowned physicist Brian Greene, who hosts the show. He takes viewers to the frontiers of physics to see how scientists are piecing together the most complete picture of space, time, and the universe. Using animation, computer graphics, and humor, Greene will explain such topics as the holographic universe, which he talked about on this first episode tonight, black holes, and quantum mechanics in a way that entertains and educates. Subjects that will be covered include time travel, the multiverse, black holes, and more. The show's first episode was made available a week in advance. I saw it last night via iTunes, so if you had iTunes, you could have downloaded it for free. And you can watch it live tonight, or you could have watched it live tonight. I guess you can still watch it live in your time zone, probably.
I hope so.
And you can check out the shows on the website as well, and we'll have the link to the story about this show in the show notes at galacticnetcast.com. He's a funny guy, and he really presented a lot of concepts in a very basic, easy-to-understand way.
That's very cool.
Like, he talked about space not being rigid, how it bends and curves, and how, like, the Earth, a planet, is heavier than space. So it kind of it makes this gravity well around it. And that's why the moon holds its orbit, because they're both in this this indentation in space. It's very interesting.
That's very cool. You'll have to check that out. Hopefully they'll run this more than once.
Yeah, and like I said, I think they're going to put the episodes up on PBS, because PBS does a very good job of putting videos of their shows on their website for just people to watch for free.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. More everybody needs to do that.
Yes. So, space, and you got something beer-related?
Dave, I want to talk to you about space beer.
I can't wait to hear about space beer.
And this is a real thing. And I checked as much as I could, and as far as I can tell, this is not a joke. So a former astronaut, aeronautical engineer is the owner of a gastropub, right? So he decided one day, while drunk, I might add, he was drunk with a friend and said, hey, wouldn't this be a great idea? But said to themselves, hey, we should make a beer that is consumable in space. And they are attempting to create such a beer. And it's, if you watch the video, it's fascinating of him trying to actually, like, test it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know this. Apparently, there's very, very interesting problems when you try to create a beer that is, or any carbonated thing, and try to drink it in space. Like, apparently, drinking carbonation in space is a very, very bad idea. Like, I had no idea that that was the case. For one, your tongue tends to get numb, and I didn't know that. So that's one problem. So you have to create something strong enough that you could actually taste. Think about that for a moment. And on the second part of it is, if it's carbonated, you're going to want to burp, and apparently that's a bad thing. I had no idea that that was a thing. Like, if you try to do that in zero gravity, it comes out like in bubbles.
Oh my God, I had no idea. That's so right. Weird.
So yeah, the beer itself is called Four Pines Stout, and it is currently being developed by this gentleman so that, yeah, the astronauts will be able to drink.
Well, there's going to be a market for it because, of course, the Virgin Galactic flights will be starting soon, and they're going to want some in-flight beverages, right? Because you're paying all that money to go up into orbit, so, you know, you should get something for your money, so why not offer them space beer?
I want space beer. That's what I want. Show me space beer, and I will be happy.
There's going to be colonies on the moon. We're going to Mars, so might as well enjoy the ride. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that quite a bit.
I can't imagine it tasting that good.
See, that's the thing, is that that was a big part of their problem, is that when something's flat, I mean, anyone who's ever had anything like a flat beverage, whether it be soda or beer or whatever, you know that it tastes just wrong. So they've had to modify how they brew it just by virtue of the fact that it's not carbonated. So, yeah.
All right. More power to them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what this country's all about, entrepreneurs. And the best ideas come when you're drinking. All right. So it's time to do our recommendations. This is the portion of the podcast where Paul and I we'll recommend one thing relating to either time travel, robots, or space, or something completely not related sometimes. And I made an allusion, or I alluded to my recommendation earlier when we played that clip from the Next Generation episode Cause and Effect, and that is my recommendation. This is the 18th episode of the 5th season of Star Trek The Next Generation, and in the show, the Enterprise D is shown to be stuck in a time loop. In fact, the very first scene is the ship blowing up, and I remember watching this going, holy crap, they just blew up the Enterprise, actually believing that the Enterprise is gone. So with events culminating in the destruction of the ship as a result of a collision with another Starfleet vessel that emerges from a space-time distortion, as each loop proceeds, the crew members, though unaware that they're in a loop, have the feeling of deja vu. Beverly Crusher begins to hear numerous conversations before going to bed, and during one cycle manages to record the voices on a tricorder. Analysis reveals that the voices are Enterprise crew members during the hours before the destruction of the ship. The crew discovers the time loop is caused by tachyon distortions near the space-time anomaly, and program data, why did I say data? I know it's data. Why did I say data? That's so weird. To send a short message to his counterpart in the next iteration to take action, to do what he's got to do to stop the ship from exploding. So data sends the signal moments before the ship is destroyed again. It's a great episode. One of my favorites, actually.
I remember it. It was very good.
Do you remember who the captain of the ship that was coming in from the other side was? Who played the captain?
No.
Kelsey Grammer.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I knew he was in a couple episodes of Star Trek, but I don't remember him in it.
Yeah, he was the captain of the Bozeman, which was in the time loop for 80 years. The Enterprise is only in the time loop for 17 days. The Bozeman was in it for 80 years without realizing that they were in a time loop.
Yeah. That's something. I always loved those kind of things. Like, yeah. Oh, hey, it really hasn't been like a day.
It's funny because the production team was trying to get Kirstie Alley to make a cameo on the bridge of the Bozeman along with Kelsey Grammer. Because Kirstie Alley, of course, played Lieutenant Savick in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. And then they were both on Cheers together. But apparently they weren't offering enough money, and that would have been kind of weird to have those two. Because it would be like a Cheers joke, kind of.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
But you know what? My favorite Star Trek episodes through all the different iterations of the show have been the time travel episodes.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that for sure. There are a lot of it plays with reality quite a bit, and them having to decipher what's going on, that's always interesting.
The Voyager seemed to have a lot of time travel episodes because they had the one where they went back to the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
They got thrown back, and then there was the one where it was in the future, and two of the crew members were trying to stop the stop Voyager from getting destroyed in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Voyager was under that big sheet of ice on that planet, and then there was one where Harry Kim went back in time to Earth. There was a bunch of different time travel episodes on Voyager.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I remember this was towards the end of the series when Captain Janeway was having a conversation with herself, her future self, saying that, you know, that all these horrible things are going to happen if you continue down this path, that kind of thing.
Well, then they had that whole time, that whole storyline with the Starfleet from the future that was kind of messing, was making sure that infractions weren't being had with the time-space continuum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. That was like the very end of the series, I think.
Yeah, it was. So that is my recommendation. Good. It is Star Trek The Next Generation episode Cause and Effect on Netflix streaming right now. So what is your recommendation, Paul?
My recommendation is a film from my childhood that I watched. And, you know, it's funny. It was one of those movies that nobody really ever... Like, not many folks have heard of, but for whatever reason, I have a very special place in my heart for this thing. It is called My Science Project, not to be confused with Weird Science. But essentially, it is such a silly premise, but it falls so neatly with what we talk about. Essentially, these guys, in an effort to find a science project, go into a sort of I don't know what you call it, but sort of like a dump for old military equipment, and come across this thing that they don't really know what it is, but all they know is that it looks cool. And it turns out that this thing creates time space warps wherever they go, right? So it just becomes this big thing, and like, you know, they have to fight going through, you know, all these different dimensions and all these different warps and stuff like that. And it's silly and it's funny, and I enjoy it. Probably the only actor that anyone would recognize is Dennis Hopper. He played the science teacher who was administering the science projects. So check it out.
This is a different movie than I thought it was. I was thinking this was the one with Val Kilmer in it.
Right, that I think the one you're thinking of is Real Genius.
Oh, okay, that's right. Yep.
But yeah, this movie was made in 1985, just to give you a general idea. But yeah, it's silly, but I always laugh when I watch it.
No, I got a couple of those movies too, where, you know, they're stupid, they're cheesy, but they're, you know, they're from your childhood or they're from fond memories, so you kind of have a special place for them in your heart, kind of thing.
Yep. Indeed, sir.
Is this available on Netflix streaming?
That's a good question. I don't think so. I own it, so
I
never bothered to check.
All right. Well, let's see.
It is available on DVD, so if you feel the need, sure you could get it for very cheap.
But it's not an instant play?
I don't know. I don't think so.
My Science Project?
My Science Project. That's correct.
No, it's not.
Oh, that's too bad.
But here's the good news. Weird Science is now available on streaming.
Oh, see, there you go.
Yes. I looked for that a few months ago, and it wasn't available, but now it is. That is awesome.
That is cool.
I'm going to put this in my queue right now. Hang on. Stop the podcast. I got to do something important.
Did you ever watch the series, the television series?
Yeah, it was not good. It was not good.
No.
No, I didn't like it.
What's I guess funny is I've sunk more hours into the television series than I did into the movies.
You know, the TV series was one of those things where I could have on in the background, and
yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah. No, I hear that.
And wasn't it like a syndicated show, so it was on like whenever?
I'm not sure. I think it was originally from USA, if I remember the number.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It was USA. You know, I kind of miss syndication because there's not a whole lot of that anymore because of the cable networks.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear that. It's, you know, I am willing to trade the idea of syndication if it means that we regularly get our television shows on DVD. Because I do remember a time, young folks, where that was not the case.
Nope.
You could not get a television show anywhere.
Yeah.
You could not buy it.
You
had to watch it on television.
The time that we're living in right now is amazing because you can almost get anything online. Anything that you want to watch is available someplace online.
Yep. It's so true.
Instantly.
And it's amazing.
Yet people are still miserable.
What does it take for you people to be happy? Come on.
Have you seen that Louis C.K.?
Yes. That's exactly what I thought of,
too. Hilarious. You're traveling in the sky.
Yes. It's going to space.
give it a second. I love that.
White people problems, folks. White people problems.
And first world problems, too.
First world problems.
Yep. All right, so moving on. Final segment of the podcast, question of the week. Are you ready for this, Paul?
Hit me.
All right, let me put the camera on me and get my serious face on. If you could travel through time and meet one famous person one famous or important person in history, who would it be and why? Paul Swigard.
Ooh, I would have to say, you know, it's a little off topic, but I've got to say the president, Dwight D. Eisenhower.
And
why
is that?
I would say to that. You know, everyone knows that he invented the phrase military-industrial complex. And I am just curious to see how he would react to what is happening currently. That's pretty much like it's almost like he warned us about something and we didn't do much to change that. So I'm wondering like how he would react to see what's going on right now. That's all.
He would probably be really pissed.
Probably. And I like him. I like him because he's a complicated individual. Like he's not very clean cut. Like he had a very, very military background, but at the same time, he also recognized that what the military was. Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. He recognized the fact that the military shouldn't, at least in his view, shouldn't be a jobs program. And that's literally what it is today.
Yeah.
Like, it's a form of career.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that is why. And I realize that's not very sciencey, but I suppose I could make it more sciencey.
No, it's fine. No, it's fine because we asked the question, you answered honestly. I understand. It's not
awesome.
It can't always be cool and sexy, you know.
Sometimes we have to get serious, people. I'm sorry.
Now, mine, on the other hand, you ready for this?
Yes, yours. I'd love to hear it.
H.G. Wells, the author H.G. Wells.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Just because he was like one of the very first science fiction authors, him along with Mary Shelley. Mary Shelley is considered like one of the very first science fiction authors as well. Would love to ask him how he came up with all the ideas for his great stories like The Time Machine and War of the Worlds.
That would be a fun conversation.
And to tell him how the future ended up.
Right. Yeah, I would kind of, I would definitely want to see his reaction to that one. Like saying, hey, this is what actually happened.
Like, he'd either be really impressed or really pissed off that we haven't progressed any further than we have.
Maybe. Maybe.
Because, you know, only like 20, 30 years ago, we were talking about that we'd have flying cars by now. Where the hell is my flying car?
Dude, I'm waiting. I am going to have a rant come, what was it, October 21st, 2015. I am going to... I am going to have a dissertation prepared on why the hell I don't have flying cars.
Who knows? It's 3 years away yet. And
I know.
Things are moving very quickly right now.
We did see those hovering discs not too long ago.
Yeah.
And that's pretty dang close.
And then now, and the military, speaking of the military, maybe the military industrial complex is good because they are working on the transforming flying car.
We'll see. We will see.
Transformers, robots in disguise.
They're more than meets the eye.
More than meets the eye. Sorry. I wasn't really a Transformers kid. I apologize.
Oh, it's fine, I suppose. Dude, if I were had to grow up with these films, I'm not sure I would have been a Transformers guy either. So I apologize to you young folks again.
All right, so that's going to do it. Let us know what famous person from history that you would like to go back in time to meet by leaving a comment on this episode at galacticnetcast.com. Or you can always email us or leave a voicemail as well. What's the email address, Paul?
The email is galacticnetcasts@gmail.com.
And the voicemail is 805-328-3966. That's 805-328-3966. That's in your neck of the woods, isn't it?
The area code is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's right in the Ventura County, which is just north of me.
Cool. It's like I planned it or something.
Yeah, it's very strange.
I didn't. It's a Google voice number.
Yeah.
So. All right. Some more things that you can do is subscribe to the podcast by going to galacticnetcast.com. Either click on the iTunes logo, or we've got a little separate thing that you can fill out on the very right-hand corner of most of the pages on the website. You can just fill it out, and you'll get an email with the link to the podcast whenever we post a new episode.
That is awesome.
Also, we encourage comments and 5-star rankings on iTunes.
Absolutely. We may even talk about you one day.
Yeah. No, if you leave a kick-ass comment, we might talk about you and then read your comment. So make it good, you know. Make it a good comment, and we'll read it on the podcast itself.
That would be awesome. I'd do that just for that. In fact, maybe I will.
Yeah.
Dave, don't be a bit surprised if I write a kick-ass comment and then you read it on the air.
Well, you know, maybe you can go ahead and do it and then not leave your own name, make up a fake name, and then I'll think it's cool, and then other people will think it's cool, and they'll follow suit.
I shall be Norbert H. Frankfurter.
That's an awesome name. So, Norbert, one of the things that we're going to talk about next week is the brand new Stephen King novel about time travel being released the day that we do the podcast next Tuesday, called 11-22-63. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't. But that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, this guy goes back in time to like 1958, and...
It's not 1963?
No, well, he has to hang out for a few years.
Oh, okay.
And then he tries to stop the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah, rock on.
So I can't wait for that, and we'll talk about it on next week's show.
Cool. I look forward to it, sir.
So where can people find you on the internet?
You can follow me on the Twitter. My handle is pswickard, and that's S-W-I-C-K-A-R-D, and, you know, letter P at the beginning. And that is the best way. How about you? Anything else you want to pimp?
Well, people can find me on my very own website, which is theinterdave.com, and there you can find my links to Twitter and Google+ as well.
Rock on.
All right, that's a podcast.
Yay!
We'll talk to you next week. This has been a presentation of Galactic Netcasts. To subscribe to this and our other podcasts, go to galacticnetcasts.com.